Hi, welcome to James Miller Lifeology, where you learn to simplify and transform your spirit, mind, and body. My name is James Miller. I'm a licensed psychotherapist and a composer. Thank you so much for joining me today in this podcast. Let's get started. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Get your free audiobook and a free 30-day trial at www.audibletrial.com/James Miller Lifeology. I have a great show for you today. I'll be teaching you what it truly means to live a balanced life. I'll also be interviewing Dr. Joni Liu, who shares her personal story of how she took control of her life and became a leader in Chinese sports medicine. You all know me as a psychotherapist, but many of you do not know me as a composer. My latest album, Restoration, was just released. Restoration is a continuation of the first album, Consolation. I like to think of these albums like books. Each original composition is written like a chapter in a book. And like in any story, the character goes from a sense of grief and loss, and at the end of Consolation, finds hope for his future. In Restoration, he has an awakening. And in that awakening, he recognizes all the things in his life which are not healthy, and it helps him come to a place of restoration, becoming greater than he was before. You may purchase this album on iTunes or any other digital music store. The name of the album is Restoration, and my stage name is James S. Miller. The name of the piece you're currently hearing is entitled Awakening. One day, all the employees reached the office and saw a big sign on the door which said, "Yesterday, the person who has been hindering your growth in this company passed away. We invite you to join the funeral in the gym." In the beginning, they all were sad for the death of one of their colleagues, but after a while, they started getting curious to know who was a person who had hindered their growth. The excitement in the gym was such that security agents were ordered to control the crowd within the room. The more people reached the coffin, the more the excitement heated up. Everyone thought, "Who is it?" One by one, the thrilled employees got closer to the coffin, and when they looked inside it, they suddenly became speechless. They stood nearby the coffin, shocked and in silence, as if someone had touched the deepest part of their soul. For there was a mirror inside the coffin. Everyone who looked inside of it could see himself. There was also a sign next to the mirror that said, "There is only one person who is capable of setting limits on your growth. It is you. You are the only person who can revolutionize your life. You are the only person who can influence your happiness, your realization, and your success. You are the only person who can help yourself. Your life does not change when your circumstances change, when your friends change, when your partner changes, when your company changes. Your life changes when you change, when you go beyond your limiting belief, when you realize that you are the only one responsible for your own life." The true meaning of a balanced life. We've all been to the gym before and have seen those bodybuilders who have a very large upper body, but the lower body is disproportionate. It's really small. And we can look at that and think, well, that just doesn't make sense. Why would they have one part of their body be much larger than the other? Because symmetrically, it just doesn't make sense. Another example of that would be, you're working really hard on your penmanship, and you want to write really, really well, but your grammar is really poor. That doesn't make sense. Once again, that's overbalanced. And that's the same type of thing we often engage in on a daily basis and don't even realize it. So the true meaning behind a balanced life is having your spirit, mind, and body all incorporated together to create one unit, and that unit is you. I really want us to understand that everything we do in life, we can be very good at certain things, specifically at certain times of the day or in certain situations, we really thrive. But when we step back and look at ways in which our life could be even better, we may realize that maybe we're not living it as effectively as we could. One of the proverbs that I live my life by is work smarter, not harder. And I think once we really take a look at what I mean by that in living a balanced life, it will make more sense of how you can live a smarter life. I mentioned the spirit, mind, and body connection. And when I talk about the spiritual part of it, I'm not talking about religion per se. I'm talking about the spiritual part of us that gives us intuition, that gives us hope when there seems to be no hope. And that for some of us who have a connection with a higher power, it gives us the fortitude and strength to be able to believe that something greater than ourselves is divinely appointing us or having more serendipitous events in our life. And then the next part of it would be our mind. Our mind is our intellect. It's our reasoning. It's our logic. It's that part of us that looks at situations and problem solves. And then, of course, our body. Our body is our corporal body. But another part of the body that we may not realize are our emotions. So the body has two components. It has the emotions that we experience, and then it has a corporal body. So I ask you, how do you live a balanced life? There's a term that I've kind of coined. It's called symmetrical living. Symmetrical living is essentially just living a life very balanced. You look at a triangle. For example, if you go to my website, you'll see my logo, which is really a version of the spirit-mind-body connection. Those three little L's make up the spirit-mind-body, which creates the larger triangle, which is us. I actually created a course on this. It's a very in-depth course that I'd recommend you, my listener, to take. It's on my website, jamesmillerlifeology.com. And in the Academy, I have a course there called Spirit, Mind, Body, the Perfect Triad. It's kind of the flagship of the Academy. It's a really, like I said, a very in-depth course which goes over each of these three components in a very in-depth way, and it helps you just formulate how to live a symmetrical life. One of the ways that I really teach this is look at a glacier. You know, you look at a glacier in the water, and what you see above the water is really only maybe a quarter of what the real glacier is. And there's so much underneath the water that we just don't realize. Sometimes it can be kind of scary because it is so deep. It's the same type of thing. When we look at that glacier, if you can look at the part that's underwater and the part that's above the water, the part that's under the water is essentially your spirit. That part of us that gives us that intuition, that part of us that's connected to the world in a way that we never realized before. That is a part of us that connects to the divine. That is a part of us that gives us that hope when there seems to be no hope. That's a part of us that really connects and helps us get through the dire situations. And then the part right around where the water line would be in the glacier would be our mind. That's the part of us that gives us logic, that gives us reasoning, and it connects to the top part, which is our body, which is our emotions, and which is how our body actually reacts. I've talked to you before in a different episode about how our perceptions or beliefs about a situation determines our thoughts. Our thoughts then determine what our emotions will be. Our emotions then tell our corporal body what to do. And so when we look at this, when the symmetrical living component, your spirit is going to be the part that creates the belief. It creates the part of us that says, I don't understand why this situation is happening, but I know I'm going to overcome it. That becomes the belief, and that's the spiritual part of us that connects to something that gives us that hope, which then tells our thoughts, logically, I don't understand it, but there is going to be a workaround. There is going to be an answer to this, which then tells our emotions to have a sense of faith, which has a sense of peace, which then tells our body to react in a certain way. And that's really how it works together. But often when we don't live a balanced life, the whole spiritual part of us is disconnected to such a degree that we just go based on the logic of what we see. And often the logic of what we see, which has its place, don't get me wrong, but sometimes the logic tells us there's no way out of the situation, which then tells our belief system that nothing is going to change, which then tells our thoughts that it's doom and gloom, which then tells our emotions how to act, and then our body is going to freak out in a very negative way. So looking at that glacier, the depth of who we are is the spiritual component. One thing to really think about, I'm sure that the majority of us incorporate some type of physical activity, which would be for our body, and we try and eat real healthily, which is also for our body. And then for our mind, some of us are taking classes, some of us read the current events, some of us are learning a new skill set. Those two parts of our life are connected. But what about the spiritual part, that part of us that really gives us the insight and the intuition? It's important for us to build this into our day every single day. On a personal note, and I'll explain how this works for me, and this is just for information only, I like to have my first hour of the day engaging in a spiritual activity that works for me. I believe in God, so my morning starts with my connection with God. And then after that, I have about an hour and a half at the gym for myself. Now, granted, I have a different schedule than most people, so I can build this into my day with these different time parameters. And then after the gym, then I use my logic. I do those things which allow me to be much more successful in my career. But if I don't do each of those three things on a daily basis, I can tell personally that my life feels unbalanced. It does not feel manageable. And so that's one thing I would really ask you to do. How do you build in all three things during your day? Because when all three things are linked together, you're unstoppable. There's nothing that will come at you that is going to blindside you and cause you not to be able to be successful. But just like that bodybuilder, if you're unbalanced, perhaps only using your mind and only using your body, well, then that whole spiritual side is not going to be connected. And conversely, if someone is very spiritual and their body is in good shape, well, then they get lost in that spiritual side. It doesn't mean they're not intelligent. It just means that they get lost in the clouds, if you will, and they're not necessarily grounded. So it's really important for us to look at the symmetry, which is the balance part of it. So if you were to look at all three of those things and use a scale of 1 to 10, 10 is the most connected you are and 1 is the least connected. If right now you were to take a subjective questionnaire, what numbers would be rated for each of those three categories of your spirit, mind, and body? The goal is to be above a 5, and you get to determine what those numbers really mean. But when those numbers are increased, you want to make sure that those numbers are relatively the same number. Because if you're struggling in one area, your spirit can kick in and give you that hope. If your spirit feels weakened because of the situations that have happened, your logical mind can say, wait a minute, we overcame this in the past, we're going to overcome it again. And sometimes our body is under the weather, but our spirit still says, you're going to get better. Our mind says, you can still do your job and you can still be functional. So all three things really work together. And without all three components working in tandem, your life is not going to be fulfilled. You are not going to live a true balanced life. So I would really encourage you to figure out what your spiritual life is going to be like. And sometimes people say, well, James, I don't believe in a higher power. And that is absolutely fine. But you would then want to talk to people who may have similar spiritual beliefs as you and figure out what they do. How do they incorporate this into their life? How do they make this part of their life? When it comes to your health and wellness, you want to talk to people who perhaps look a certain way and you want to figure out what do they do. And then, of course, you want to look at someone who may be successful when it comes to business, when it comes to really using their mind and their logic and a skill set, and you figure out what they do. There's so many people around us who are experts in things. And the great thing about it is we get to ask them questions. We get to learn from them. And then we get to figure out how all three things will work together. But I'd really challenge you today to really figure out how all three of those parts will work in your life. And when you can create this into your schedule, that fits into your time frame, and make sure you do this every single day, I promise you, you will be unstoppable and you will truly understand the meaning of a balanced life. And now, a quick word from my sponsor. Audible.com is offering you, my listener, a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/James Miller Lifeology. Many of you don't know this about me, but I'm an avid reader, so this is a no-brainer for me to go ahead and download any audiobook I'd like to read, specifically if I'm walking my dog, at the gym, or just even driving. So for you to get your free audiobook, go to audibletrial.com/James Miller Lifeology. They have over 180,000 books for you to choose from, so I'm pretty confident you'll find the one you're looking for. So check it out today. I have the pleasure of introducing Dr. Joni Liu, who is a physician, author, speaker, and brain expert. She is going to share her inspiring story of how she became an international expert in Chinese sports medicine and Chinese sports psychology. Welcome to my show, Dr. Joni.
Thank you so much, James. And I'm so happy to be able to help your audience to learn the lessons that they need to learn in life and grow and get better.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. You know, I love hearing just stories in general, but when I read a little bit about yours, to hear not only did you have personal adversity, but how you just help your patients. I mean, it's wonderful to get a chance to get to know you and to hear your story.
Okay, well, I guess my story started when I was working in corporate, and I was a professional engineer for 24 years.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, in my mid-30s, I had a cancer scare. I thought I was doing everything that I was supposed to be doing. I thought, you know, just having a good diet and exercising on a regular basis was all I needed. But unfortunately, the shock of having this cancer scare forced me to realize that, that's not all it takes. In fact, there's a huge missing piece, which I didn't know about even then. But the thing is that it made me really look at my life, and it made me understand that I was being a doormat to everybody else's wishes except mine. I was pushing all my desires back so that I could please other people. And of course, you know that when you're trying to please other people, you're actually not being real successful at it because they expect more and more out of you, don't they?
Yes, right? They certainly do.
Yeah, so it was that much more pressure on me. I was being a good little girl at work. Because of this thing, you know, the word called cervical cancer, that's when it struck me that I've got to look at my life. And I got quiet and started looking back at myself and realizing that all this victimhood was just making me sick. And so one day I just decided I wasn't going to be a victim anymore. And I just started taking the reins of power and saying, I'm going to start doing this for myself. I'm going to start standing up to people in my life, and that included my boss, my husband, my parents, everybody.
Well, how did you go from this place? Well, first off, how did you recognize that it was almost a form of victimhood? I mean, what happened in you that to say, wait a minute, this is not
the way I want to live my life.
It really came down to me being such an angry person all mm-hmm. the time. And even though it didn't seem to affect me physically, I felt so uneasy all the time. I felt frustrated. And I finally had to examine what the basis of all that anger and frustration was, because it was obviously going to create a really bad problem for me. I usually research everything. So I was talking to a nurse one day, and I don't even know why I was talking to her or where I was. I don't remember. But she told me that at the time, this is in the 1990s, that the people who got cervical cancer were people who had multiple sexual partners who also had multiple sexual partners, and that meant prostitutes. And here I am saying, exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Because I'm a professional engineer. I'm a community leader. I've had one partner. I've got two young. No way, right?
Exactly. That wasn't me.
So, yeah, I can laugh at it now.
Of course, yeah.
But at the time, it was like, that's crazy. But
yes.
But because of that, a few weeks later, I was completely cleared of any problems at all. And I knew it was because my mindset had changed. Well, okay, I didn't know that until after I finally quit corporate several mm-hmm. years later, and I was studying Chinese medicine. And it was in one of my introductory courses in Fundamentals of Chinese Medicine when my professor said that 1 minute of anger does you more harm than anybody else, because you're only hurting yourself when you're feeling like this, right? Sure. And here I was realizing that I was still a very uptight person. I was still a very angry person, didn't know how to have fun. That was a turning point in my life when I found out the real reason why my body almost failed me.
Wow. So just that one statement, a very simple statement, but a very powerful statement
very
for you.
Very powerful. And that has led me to question a whole bunch of things, even about Chinese medicine, about the way it's taught, because the history goes back about why it changed. And I can't go into that because we have a very short
time.
Sure.
Well, you know, that's one thing I wanted to ask you, just for my listeners. Can you explain the difference between Chinese medicine and Western medicine?
The important thing to understand about Chinese medicine is that it is a different paradigm. Mm-hmm. But the paradigm is all about health. We do not study disease per se. So our focus is to get you stronger so that you overcome whatever the diseases, the injury, you know, whatever it is that's bothering you. And the fact is that we know that your psychology and your physiology are forever connected mm-hmm. and you cannot separate them. Whereas in modern Western medicine, they have these silos and they tell you that your psychological state has nothing to do with your physical state. But my God, it's 100%
mm-hmm. joined together.
It's going to affect you for sure.
So what I'm hearing from the Chinese medicine, in a very basic statement, of course, is it's more about the preventative nature of how to maintain your health. And then if the disease happens, of course, there's ways to treat that. But it's more the preventative nature and lifestyle version of what you treat.
Mm-hmm. Our mindset, as I said, my own discovery was mm-hmm. that your mindset has everything to do with how you're doing. So even though you may be following the correct diet and doing exercise, if you're not feeling good about your life, then you're missing a huge component.
Certainly. How did you go into the Chinese sports medicine and Chinese sports psychology? What was it that pushed you into that direction, or that specific niche?
Yeah, it was simply because I finally went into my database of my clients and realized that they were mostly coming to me for sports injuries and realized that I was really good at getting them back on their feet and enjoying life again. But I also realized that I was also helping them with their psychological wellness. And when I did that, that their healing just took off a lot faster. That's when I really, truly understood what was the key to all the good things that were happening in my clinic.
Wow. So then you were able to really help them kind of reframe the whole situation, not only the injuries they may have, but also the reframe of giving them hope again, how to understand that for now, this is where you are, but it doesn't mean tomorrow you'll be this way, the day after that, that your life can change based on your perception.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people are in the state of mind where they don't even acknowledge how great they are.
That's true.
You know, I mean, we're all told, you know, don't brag, don't blah, blah, blah. I mean, sure, don't brag. I suppose, but still don't dismiss what you have accomplished in life.
Yes.
Because so what I do is I help people to see for themselves, because I don't tell them how great they are. I have a protocol where I get them to see what kind of accomplishments they've had in life. And, you know, it even comes from when they're little, if they're young, to when, as they're progressing into adulthood and well past that. It's about building self-confidence. It's about knowing that, yes, I've been able to get through challenges before and I can do it again because I have proof. I can see the proof now. And it does incredible wonders for their overall health everywhere.
Yeah. That's interesting that you say that, because that's one of the things I really teach as well, because our background is wonderful data to use, because we've all experienced some type of emotion before and we're going to continually experience that emotion in the future.
Yeah.
But when we're aware of how did we overcome it before, when we have that personal data, it doesn't matter if I say something to someone, but if they look back on their own life and say, wait a minute, I did overcome that. Somehow I did something. What did I do? And using that as a stepping stone and the foundation for being able to overcome the next or the current thing that they're experiencing in their life.
And it's so fantastic, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When you actually see your clients blossom right in front of you,
yeah.
When they finally realize, oh my God, yeah,
yes, yes.
I did. I really did do that.
Yeah,
I really did do those things.
You know, one of the other things I like to do is I create like a timeline for them, and they're the ones who fill it in. So a timeline of the successes that they had, all the things that they've overcome. And when they can create that timeline, it really helps them say, wow, this was difficult or something happened in my life, but this is a really amazing thing that happened in my life, or this is something I'm really proud of. And when they can focus on the timeline of their successes, it really helps them have a different foundation for the person they are.
That's so awesome. It's true. You know, that's really how we should all be helping people. That's
because
how we should be doing it.
One thing I notice is that many times people will focus on the deficit or what's negative in their life. And yes, please don't get me wrong. That's very, very important. But the other component of what is working well in your life and how do you make it better? How does that become the focal point of your life? Because on whatever you focus is going to be in the forefront of your mind. Just like you take a coin, if you take that coin and bring it to your eye, that's all you're going to see. And so that's why it's really neat to say, well, what kind of coin do I want to have in my eye? And that's really helpful to have people have that reframe and focusing on the things that are working as opposed to all the negative things that are not working in their life.
Well, you know, we only focus on the negative things during the initial diagnostic intake, and that is the last time we talk about it.
Oh, wow. That is really neat.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what's the point?
Sure.
Because that's the problem with talk therapy and all that, because people keep reliving the bad stuff over and over again. They never get out.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
So we have to stop doing that. Mm-hmm. We have to focus on the good things, and that's how we move people out.
Yes, definitely.
Absolutely.
Going back to your personal story, there was something that happened with your son.
Mm.
Would you be willing to talk about that?
Yes, I'd be really happy. It was a very severe concussion.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason why concussions came into my radar was simply because of a very famous hockey player. His name is Sidney Crosby. He suffered a very severe concussion playing Washington Capitals on January 1st, 2011. So it was an outdoor classic game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was reported that he had a concussion. And I didn't really pay much attention at the time because, you know, you hear about these things once in a while, you know, professional players get hurt, right? You know, Sidney Crosby took pretty much 2 years to really finally come back, and his doctors were scrambling because they were re-diagnosing, they were stretching their imagination, they really couldn't come up with a solution for him. And during that time, I was thinking, geez, you know, I have this healing process, I wish I could talk to him.
Yeah.
And then that summer, lo and behold, the last thing that I thought was to hear from my son telling me about his severe concussion and the fact that it actually blinded him.
Oh my gosh.
When he was hit by a soccer ball. So he was playing in a soccer match.
Uh-huh.
And he was on his side of the field. His teammate on the other side of the field kicked the ball towards him. And so he wasn't ready for it.
Yeah.
And it hit him square on the right side of the head.
Oh, my
just
gosh.
Just right over the ear, and he went down. And, of course, you know, his teammates took him over to the sidelines and left him there to sort things out. Well, it was while he was sorting things out when he realized, my God, my eyes are open, can't see.
Oh, my gosh.
So in that one instant, his life changed. He doesn't remember what he was thinking about, but imagine the horror he must have felt.
I can't even imagine that.
Yeah, I can't either. But thankfully, after some time, he doesn't know how long, maybe 10 or 20 minutes, his eyesight finally did come back.
Oh, thank God.
Thank God.
Yes.
And then he made a decision. He went back out on the soccer field. He thought, you know, even though I'm not feeling good, the least I can do is just go back on the field and let my teammates sub on and off to get a break. So he did that until the end of the game. Then he drove himself home.
Oh my gosh. And
yeah, when he got home, that's when the headache started and he knew he had a concussion. So right then and there, he decided, okay, I'm going to handle this by myself because after all, you know, he was 28 years old at the time. He's got his own household. He hasn't been home with me for a very long time. Of course, he's going to handle this. So he cut out all his extracurricular activities, but the one thing he couldn't stop doing was going into work. He went into work, and he's a very busy process engineer, so he's still doing a very highly intellectual, very challenging job.
Which I'm assuming has a lot of, you have to really focus on that. There's a lot of concentration that must really happen.
Yeah, so he didn't stop working. By the time he called me, it was more than 2 weeks later, and so by then he wasn't eating, he wasn't sleeping, he had headaches all the time. Thing is that his coworkers didn't notice. So he finally asked me for help. And I said, yes, now you have to do everything that I tell you to do. In March of last year, I found out what my calling really was and what my purpose is because I was studying for the speaking course. And one of the questions in the course went like this. If you made an offer to a client and they didn't accept it, what do you think would be the outcome? And immediately I thought suicide. Oh. And then I cried. And that's when I realized that's why I am so concerned about concussions and post-concussive syndrome, because people are committing suicide out there. As McCann Utu Jr. will attest, the kid from Plano, Texas, if nobody's heard about this, he committed a murder-suicide several weeks ago. He murdered his mom and his younger brother because a few years ago, he had been diagnosed with a concussion. It happened because he was playing basketball from dunking the ball, and somehow he hurt himself really badly, and the protocols for return to play failed him. The reason why he couldn't pass those tests is because there is no way of helping a boy like him to get back in the game. I mean, at school, we're all taught the lessons. The teacher makes sure that you're prepared in order to write a test. Well, for today's return to play protocols, there is no way of doing that. There is no way of helping a kid to pass each stage so that they can return to play. From that point on, you know, the love of his life was removed from him.
And his identity as well, yes.
And his identity as well, you're right. And he just went straight downhill until this awful thing happened. And I will not allow his death and the death of his beautiful family to go in vain. I mean, we need to take action on this. I think it's true that for a lot of people, a concussion can go away by itself. But for the people who stay stuck with it after several weeks, months, even years and decades with it, where there's no help, that's when the desperation comes in because they feel abandoned.
Yeah. Well, because they feel like there's no hope. I mean, everybody goes on with their life, but this is something that becomes a chronic part of their life and they never had it before. And so now they have to figure out how to live their life, or sometimes even try and go back to those quote unquote glory days and finding that they are falling short, not because they don't want to go back to it. It's just because the concussion.
Yeah. Well, remember I said at the beginning that the difference between classical Chinese medicine and Western medicine is the fact that we are all about making you stronger again so that you can overcome the deficit. Everything that we're prescribing for you is going to make you stronger, but you've also got to do the work in order to become stronger because it's not about me healing you. It's a partnership.
And I really like that. That's really important to really concentrate on, because the provider or the person who provides the assistance is like the coach, but the other person has to do the hard work. And the only way we're successful is by putting that work in. And the more work you put in, the more the output you get from that.
Well, it's actually better than coaching because it's really consulting.
Because that's a good way to look at it. Yes.
Yeah, because a consultant is an expert, and they're and you've got to follow that. I mean, you're paying that person to get your solution, so it's better than being a coach. You're actually a consultant because you're following through with the stuff that they're telling you to do. In my son's case, through the intake, I found out about the things that were stressing him out. But there was especially something that had happened at work that was really bad because the company had hired a new person because they had been looking for a supervisor for several months. They finally found one. They brought him in. And so this new supervisor told his young team of engineers that, "I want to be your friend."
Oh,
great basis, right?
Wow. Okay.
So they wanted a leader. They did not want a friend. They wanted somebody who would clear the path, you know, go to that person when there was a problem, get it fixed, you know, solved. But no, this wasn't the vibe that they were getting from this guy. And of course, he said it out loud. So one of his best friends at work decided right then and then that he was looking for another job and he was quitting. So,
oh gosh.
But my son did not want to quit. He really likes the company. He loves the work that he does, but he didn't want to work for this guy. So he was in a real quandary. I had an inkling of what was happening at the beginning of the summer, but when he got hit in the head, that's when it really became quite loud and clear what the problem is. Because where he was hit is where the gallbladder meridian is, okay? So this gallbladder meridian starts at outside the eye, goes around the head, near the ears, down the neck, the shoulders, and side of the body, and goes down to the little baby toe. So he could have had other problems. But because there was so much confusion, because he didn't know what to do, because gallbladder meridian actually governs decision-making, and you have to have courage in order to make that decision. And because his eyes were affected, I knew that the stress of not being able to make a decision and also losing control of the situation. There's nothing like losing control of a situation that really tests your self-confidence. So one of the things that I asked him to do, because being in corporate for 24 years, I did not want him to make the same mistakes that I did. I asked him to make a weekly meeting with this new boss and to ask him for what he wanted. And I said to him, the reason why you have to take steps to do this is because this guy has no clue what you're going through. Maybe he doesn't even care. So you're the one who's suffering, so you have to take the step. And then I told him, and there's no guarantee that this guy will do anything that you ask him to do. No guarantees, but it's up to you. And he said he would do it because he made a promise to himself that he was going to get well again, because he knew he could not continue this way.
Yes.
I mean, he was burning the candle from both ends. How long was it going to take before his work would suffer? And being an engineer, it's all about safety, right? Mm-hmm. It's all about public safety. Could he risk losing his license if he made a terrible mistake?
Yeah.
No way, right? Somebody's life is in peril, never mind his own. So he agreed to do this. And I knew it was not going to be easy because he's a quiet guy. You know, a lot of engineers are quiet.
Sure.
They want to do their job. They're not going to bleep out what's on their mind.
Yeah.
They just want to do their job. They just want to live their life.
You know, one of the things I really, really focus on about this story was the buy-in that he created for himself to say, I'm going to do whatever my doctor tells me to do because I want to get well. And so that buy-in or that foundational piece for any treatment is you have to start. Doesn't mean you know how it's going to play out, but you have to have that buy-in or that belief or that goal that I'm going to do whatever it takes. I may not feel like I can do it, but I'm going to buy into it to make sure that when I do this, that my mind, my focus, everything about me is going to be focused on the goal of I'm going to get better.
Yeah, definitely. At the beginning of my practice, unfortunately, people were coming to me as if I was going to be a miracle worker and that I was going to do everything for them and they were going to do nothing. And that was bad. Okay.
Of course. Of course.
That was bad because obviously they weren't going to get anywhere. But as I made changes to the way my own mindset went and got stronger, my clients got better and better.
Yes.
And I attracted better and better people until it came to the point where my own son was coming to me. And most of the time, people are going to find that as doctors and health providers that your own family isn't going to be really good at listening to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, they know you in many different ways than the expert, of course.
Exactly. So I was taking also that risk that he might not take any of this seriously, but my God. To his credit, he did. And to his credit, it's been 4 years and everything is great. He's had to deal with other situations, so he's got a new skill set, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that he's
exactly.
been able to use over and over. He knows he's in control. And the thing is, he's a much stronger person mentally, emotionally, and physically because of this, because of what he's had to go through. And of course, you know, he's come back and asked us about things when he's needed help again. But again, not very often.
I think that's one of the things that we all need to remember, that when we go through adversity, there's always a lesson. There's something that we can hold on to that's going to teach us something. So when we're on the other side of that situation, we have learned something that makes us stronger. You know, you think about a butterfly. A butterfly doesn't just come out of the cocoon and fly. It has to struggle. And just it's very difficult for it to get out of it. But that is how it flies. That's how it becomes this beautiful creature. And then if someone helps it come out of the cocoon, it will never be able to fly.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, as practitioners, we really are merely guides. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we're really good guides, but if you expect to do nothing, well, you're not going to get anything in return. All the effort that my clients put into their own wellness is returned to them 100 times.
Yes.
And it's not just them that benefit. I benefit too as a practitioner mm-hmm. because I grow with them.
Yes.
Because it's a partnership, and once we heal, everybody else around us heals too.
Exactly. Yep. It's a very symbiotic relationship in to some degree.
Oh, 100%. It doesn't become a struggle anymore because you know somebody has your back. You know that somebody is supporting you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that expertise is so important. It's real strategies. It's real tools. It's not hairy-fairy.
Mm-hmm.
It's about helping them to get stronger. And that is so much the key.
Yes, it really is. Well, Dr. Joni, I want to thank you so much. This has been a wonderful conversation. Thank you for instilling hope in my listeners, but also just helping them recognize how important the linkage is between one's psychology and one's physiology. I think that is something we can all take away and learn from that and just be mindful of that as we go throughout our day.
That's for sure. I mean, if we don't have optimism and hope, then we're never going to get healed. Because I'm not going to say cure, because it really is different from healing.
Mm-hmm.
We really need to have that hope and that optimism. If you have no hope, you're going to be dead.
Yeah.
That is the truth of it. You will not get better. But if you have hope and you have optimism and you're working on the things that matter to you in order to get well, you're going to get well.
That's a great way to say it. Thank you so much for summing all that up for us. So if my listeners would like to find out more information about you, where would they find your information online?
Well, you can find my new book, Heal Your Concussion, Quickly and Effectively Get Back in the Game on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
That is my latest and greatest book for those of you who are suffering from concussions and from post-concussion syndrome, because I want you to know that your condition is temporary. It is temporary. You can make a difference to your health right now. I am now doing Facebook Live on Facebook through their new live streaming protocol, and it's fantastic. So I am there every Thursday afternoon at 3:30 p.m. Mountain Time, okay, or 5 p.m. Eastern Time. And I am talking about all kinds of topics pertaining to brain health and to health in general.
Wonderful. And what's your Facebook profile page?
Facebook.com/DRJLIU. So Dr. J. Liu.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. I know you've instilled so much hope on my listeners, and I really want to thank you for being a guest on my show today.
Thank you so much for inviting me, and I really hope that this episode helps a lot of people.
I'm sure it will.
I also want to thank you, the listener, for joining with me today. Please subscribe to this podcast through whichever podcast portal you joined with me. If you're using iTunes and you like what you hear, please rate this podcast as well as leave your comments on the iTunes podcast page. Also, please visit my website where you may see all my YouTube episodes and published articles I've written for you. You may also enroll in the Lifeology Academy I created where you can take self-directed courses which are designed for successful people just like you. You may find all this information at jamesmillerlifeology.com. Once again, thank you so much for listening to this podcast episode today. Have a fantastic week, and I look forward to talking to you very soon.